In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your Eminence, Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to be with you this morning. It was wonderful to celebrate this beautiful liturgy, and especially with His Eminence on this 12th anniversary. I had the privilege of knowing him when I was a student at Holy Cross, and he was serving in the administration there. So it's wonderful also to be in this beautiful temple. As Father said, I would like to share with you something about the work that we have the privilege of being part of in Albania. But leading into that, I want to reflect just very briefly on the gospel message that we read this morning and on where we are in our journey towards the resurrection. So we're 2 weeks away from Pascha, from the resurrection service, and with this morning's gospel with Christ, we turn our faces towards Jerusalem. The beginning of the gospel reading, and it actually, the first part of the verse wasn't included in what we read, but it's there in the text, says that Jesus turned to go up to Jerusalem, and that he was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those that followed were filled with fear. This introduces a drama in three parts that's very powerful for us this morning. So the first part of this drama is this sense of amazement and fear that the crowd walking with Christ is filled with. And then Christ takes his 12 disciples and shares with them the fact that they are going up to Jerusalem, that he will be arrested, that he will be mocked, spit upon, scourged, and executed, and that 3 days later he will rise from the dead. And in a way, the story could end there. It's a happy ending. It's victory over death. But if it's just an abstract story about what happens to Jesus, it's not very relevant to us. So there are two more parts to the drama. First, two of his disciples come to him and say, "Lord, we have a special request." And he says, "Well, what is it?" They say, "In your glory, we want to sit on your right and left hands." And it's very interesting how Jesus responds to this. It would be very easy for him to respond harshly and say, "What? I just told you I'm going to die, and now you're talking about where you're going to sit? Don't you have any more sense of the moment than that?" But he responds in a way tenderly to them and says, "You don't know what you're asking for." And at this point, if we think about the story as it unfolds, we cannot help but think of the two thieves that end up on his right and left hands. Said that they truly did not know what they were asking for. And he says, "Can you drink the cup that I will drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say, "We can." And of course, they again don't understand that he's talking about his cross and his death. And he tells them that, "I can't give you an answer about where you'll sit, but you will participate in that cup and that baptism." And then there's a third part to the drama. So these two have come and made sort of an inappropriate request at an inappropriate moment. Christ has answered them tenderly. But the 10 other disciples then are jealous that two of them wanted to have a higher position than everybody else. So they're indignant, they're angry, they're upset. So Jesus has told them that he's about to die, be tortured and executed. Two are asking for a higher place, the others are indignant. Again, Jesus' response is so interesting. He brings them together and says, "You know, in the outside world, those who want to be first have authority and rule over others. But with us, it's different." And he sets himself as the example. Says, "The Son of Man, me, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." He says, "That's the example for you." And so the story ends again with an equivocal note. He will give his life as a ransom for many, which is good news for us, but brings us back to the beginning of the story of his torture and death. But what does all of this mean for us? What difference does it make to you and I this morning? Well, if we will walk with Christ to Jerusalem And if we'll celebrate, as the wonderful icon behind us reminds us, celebrate and walk through his death and then celebrate his resurrection with him, then we see that we are given victory over death. We've celebrated these memorials of our loved ones that have passed on this morning. These are sad moments, but they're also moments that, if we realize it, are moments of victory, because we have victory over death. And this victory is not just something that's for us, but it's something that Christ purchased for the entire world. Purchased for all of those that know him and those who do not know him. Do you know that in our world today, approximately a quarter of the world's population have never made any decision about Christ? They've never decided to follow him or not because they don't have any access to know him. They are in places where, in their geographical region or their language or their cultural ethnic group, there is no witness of Christ at all. We treasure the fact that we are Orthodox and we have the fullness of what Christ came to bring us. But do you know that only 4% of the world today is Orthodox? Only 4% of the world has that fullness. We have this incredible treasure, and the question for us is, do we want to be like James and John and just go for the glory? Say, can we sit with Christ and just enjoy this glory? Or do we really want to walk with him? And he tells them that you must be baptized with this baptism and drink this cup, because through the fellowship of his suffering is the only way truly to know him, truly to be united with him, and truly to experience that resurrection. Do we want to walk with him in that and to share this incredible treasure of the gospel with all of those who have not had a chance to hear it yet? His father said, I've had the privilege of serving now in Albania for 19 years and working under the direction of Archbishop Anastasios, who is our archbishop there, the head of our autocephalous church, working towards the resurrection of the Orthodox Church of Albania, a church that has suffered perhaps more than any other Orthodox church. The last part of that suffering, under communist dictatorship from 1967 to 1991, all religion was illegal in Albania. All of the churches were confiscated. Most of them were destroyed. All of the priests were forced to stop serving. So we're in a period now of resurrection, where many wonderful things have happened, and I won't even take the time to try to tell you of all of those this morning. But wonderful, wonderful things have happened in the resurrection of the Orthodox Church. But there's still an incredible amount to do. And we ask that you would partner with us in that ongoing work. We have the privilege of being sent by the Orthodox Christian Mission Center, which is the structure provided by the Assembly of Bishops for sending out missionaries around the world. We ask you to partner with us in that work, to partner with us through your prayers and through your financial support, that you could be a co-worker with us in the harvest field of Albania, that we would see this church that has an almost 2,000-year history resurrected. Right now, in this next decade, we will be seeing whether this process of wonderful resurrection will continue and to grow and to blossom, or will it begin to fade. And we trust, under the wonderful leadership of the Archbishop and all of those that we have the privilege to work together with, that it will continue to flourish. But that's possible only if we continue to share Christ there. So we ask that you would partner with us. I'll be downstairs. I'd love to talk with you more, share a prayer card with you that you could place in your prayer corner and pray with us, talk about how you could partner with us effectively, that we could truly walk through Holy Week and through the crucifixion, the resurrection with Christ, and celebrate his victory over death, not only for us, but for all of those around the world that have not yet had the privilege of hearing the gospel of the good news of his victory over death. Thank you.